And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Friday as we kickstart a nice summer weekend. With plenty to do over the next few hours before we get there. Coming up, the Golden State Warriors win another NBA championship. We'll break it all down. Plus, as the two new worlds of golf have come together, I got some thoughts on that with the U.S. Open going on. Shane Beamer was in town last night. We'll talk a little Gamecock football. Clemson introduced their new baseball coach yesterday. We'll get to that coming up later on with some sound. Plus, yesterday we talked about which team in the NFL could be like the Bengals of last year. Which team in college football could potentially be like the Bengals? Come out of nowhere to potentially reach the national championship, surprising everybody. We'll get to that later on this afternoon. Who does Vegas already like for certain college football games this year? We'll get to that. And we'll be all over the NBA Finals throughout the afternoon. We'll have a former player and a current player join us this afternoon. The athlete formerly known as Ron Artest, Meta Sanford Artest, will join the show again coming up in about 15 minutes. And former Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac will join us around 2:30 this afternoon as we break down the NBA Finals. With you till 3, you can join the conversation throughout. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show. 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there and click on our show page where you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Friday, Trent's on the steel wheels. We both predicted Warriors in 6, so no surprises around here. Trent, good afternoon. How are you?
Luke, I'm feeling absolutely phenomenal right now. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, at the start of the series, we both said Warriors in 6. We've been doing great on our picks, on our player props. 3-0 last night and Warriors money line. Are you kidding me? It was the writing on the wall, Luke. You never doubt the heart of a champion, and that's what the Golden State Warriors are. They did it last night. Absolutely phenomenal game. Got a little nervous towards the fourth quarter. I didn't know if the Celtics were going to turn it on, but experience beats inexperience. Great game. Happy for the Warriors that they get their fourth championship in about 8 years.
Yeah, it's a big one. Let's talk about that game last night and the Warriors winning this championship. As I always say in the show, I love my industry. I love what I get to do for a living. It's not work. At the same time, I also hate a lot about my industry. I hate what a lot of it has become. And I hate a lot of the narratives and the fact that you need to have some sort of big opinion after each and every game or after every day. We need to fill 24 hours of airtime on TV and radio. You're trying to get clicks online, people to come to your website. You're trying to get Twitter followers for your ego. You want to tweet out controversial things, yada, yada, yada. But all this talk about Steph Curry, right? A lot of people have been using the phrase, has he cemented his legacy? I mean, what are we talking about? He didn't need to win this championship or finals MVP to already have his legacy intact. He's changed the game more than any player in a long, long time, probably since Magic Johnson 40 years ago, when suddenly now, right, bigger guys would start to bring the ball up the floor like LeBron James. Steph Curry's changed the game. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. Steph Curry was already part of one of the best dynasties we've had. And last night was just the cherry on top. It was the icing. But Curry already had a tremendous legacy. He already was an all-time great. He just never gets fully appreciated. He wasn't recruited out of high school. He wanted to go to Virginia Tech. where his father played. Seth Greenberg was the coach. Curry was willing to walk on to the team. Greenberg wouldn't even take Curry as a walk-on. Greenberg gets very defensive about it nowadays. But he said no to Steph Curry. Didn't want him with his program. He went to Davidson. Had a great career at Davidson. And then in the NBA draft was taken 7th, which seems good. But then you look back and you see Johnny Flynn got taken ahead of Steph Curry. I'm a big Rubio guy, Ricky Rubio, right? But obviously Steph Curry, a much better player. Rubio, another guard that was drafted ahead of Steph Curry. How did that work out? And then when Steph Curry won the MVP of the league, you know what happened? Even his own peers didn't appreciate him. As soon as Curry won the MVP, the NBA Players Association started their own award. I don't remember what they call it. They give out their own most valuable player amongst the players because they thought, Curry, MVP, there's no way that guy's the best player in the league. And when he won a bunch of finals, everybody said, well, you know, Kevin Durant's there. They're a super team. And then Kevin Durant leaves, and you could go look online. All the Warriors fans are posting it all around. Curry was referencing it last night in the postgame. Klay Thompson. A lot of people took their hacks at the Warriors, saying this dynasty is dead. Right, they're done. They're not going to win anything. There are all sorts of – they posted – I saw, you know, the freezing – the cold takes, whatever it is, about – I think it was first take when Steph Curry signed his 4-year contract, and they said he's not going to win any championships over those 4 years. And Steph Curry mocked that last night in the postgame press conference. Even after winning championships, he was still being doubted. They were not favored this year, and once they reached the NBA Finals against the Celtics, they were still an underdog. As they fell behind 2-1, everybody wrote off Golden State. Steph Curry has never been appreciated. Maybe now he will. After beating Boston last night without Kevin Durant, without being the number one seed, scoring over 30 points a game, being the MVP, Steph Curry is now one of 5 players all time to win multiple MVPs, now a Finals MVP, to win a scoring title, and also have at least four NBA championships. One of 5 players to check all those boxes. The other players are Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. 4 of the all-time greats. Steph Curry is in company with those. And of those other 4 all-time greats, only Michael Jordan and then Steph Curry actually have a winning record in the NBA Finals. So when you look at resumes and compare what they've done from a personal and a team perspective, you can make a case that only Steph Curry and Michael Jordan have checked as many boxes as you really possibly can in the NBA. Finals MVP now, regular season MVP, scoring title, 4 championships, running a dynasty. And speaking of Michael Jordan, Jordan dominated in the 90s. And he was the best player in his era. Other teams couldn't win anything because Michael Jordan stood in the way. Meanwhile, Steph is winning during LeBron's era. And we like to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. These are the two best. Oh, LeBron's better than Jordan. Well, the big difference was Jordan was the gatekeeper, and he didn't let anybody in. The only time anybody else won a championship in the 90s was when Jordan was playing baseball and Olajuwon and the Rockets finally broke through. Or when Jordan finally retired for good at the end of the 90s and the Spurs got their first title. But Steph Curry, meanwhile, has put together a remarkable run in LeBron's league. And that's not some sort of indictment on LeBron. I'm not trying to turn this into a LeBron versus Jordan thing. It's more of a compliment to Steph Curry. Nobody could get past Jordan in the 90s. And there are a lot of good players. Steph Curry, while dealing with LeBron James's era, has been able to one-up him and have the best dynasty we've seen in quite some time. It'd be like if Olajuwon, Malone, Ewing, pick your favorite player, actually dominated the 90s and won 4 championships alongside Jordan. Right? Jordan was getting to the championship while they were winning a bunch too. But nobody could do it. Jordan had a stranglehold on the NBA in the 90s. And for as good as LeBron is, Steph Curry has been more successful at winning during the LeBron phase. Here was Steph Curry after the game at the press conference, talking about how sweet it is to get number 4, and of course, that first Finals MVP as well.
This one hits different, for sure. Just knowing what the last 3 years have meant, what it's been like, from injuries to, you know, changing of the guard and the rosters, Wiggs coming through, our young guys carrying the belief that we could get back to the stage and win, even if it didn't make sense to anybody when we said it. All that stuff matters, and now we got 4 championships. You know, me, Dre, Clay and Andre. Finally got that bad boy. Special, man. Special.
That bad boy he's referring to is the Finals MVP trophy sitting up there with him at the podium. Yeah, that's the big one. Shouldn't be, but it is. And obviously Steph Curry acknowledging it last night, he knows what everybody was saying. And I'm sure it meant something even more special to him to pull that off. I'm sure that was the chip on the shoulder this series. Not only to go win a championship, but to also to shut up the last of the critics. There's not much left you could say now in the negative about Steph Curry. Last night was the best championship he and the Warriors have won. Right, when you look back at the other ones, two of them were with Kevin Durant. They should have won those championships. The first one, they won 73 games. They should have won that championship. Plus, the Cavs didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love. They're all beat up. Right, in 2015. This one was different. This was not as the number one seed. This was not as the preseason favorite. This was when Klay Thompson still isn't quite 100% and Draymond Green's a little over the hill and Steph Curry's now 34 years old and scored over 30 points in this finals against the number one defense. He became the first player ever to beat the number one defense in the finals while averaging over 30 points per game. Another thing you could slap on the impressive resume of Steph Curry. And he did it without Kevin Durant and even without Klay Thompson for most of the series. And I know Wiggins played well. And Draymond Green, credit to Draymond, because I was tough on him earlier in the series. He was really good last night. That was the best game he's played probably in years. He stepped up big in a big spot. But man, for Steph Curry to get that fourth, that finals MVP, to do it like this, so impressive, and the best of his four championships. Here's his head coach, who obviously knows a thing or two about winning with high-end players. Played with Michael Jordan in the 90s, now coaching Steph Curry through all these championships. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say last night after the win about his star, Steph Curry.
Without him, none of this happens, you know, and that's not taking anything away from Joe and Peter's ownership, because they're amazing owners, built an incredible organization. Bob Myers, a hell of a GM, you know, our players. We've had so many great players, but Steph ultimately is, you know, why this run has happened, much like Timmy in San Antonio. And so I'm happy for everybody, but I'm thrilled for Steph. To me, this is his crowning achievement in what's already been an incredible career.
Yeah, sure is. Curry didn't need it, but boy, does it help, right, to get that finals MVP, that fourth championship without Durant, and he played really well throughout the series. By the way, Steve Kerr referenced the Spurs. Yeah, you can't forget, he won a championship with Duncan and the Spurs, too. That guy, he has 9 championships. He needs one more for that last pinky, for all his rings. As a player, now a coach as well. He was a good executive, too, when he was running the Suns. Steve Kerr and what he's done, right, goes down with the all-time greats in NBA history, certainly as both a player and a coach. But for Steph Curry, the all-important Finals MVP and championship finished off last night in Boston, by the way. That's another nice touch to it all, right? On that floor. I know it's not the old Boston Garden, but it's still a bit of a historic place. And to beat the Celtics on their court like that in 6 games was pretty impressive for Curry and the Warriors. We'll talk about Jason Tatum later on. You can always get in touch with the show. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, send a message to the show. Dale was asking about Jason Tatum. I think it's a good question. I'll get to it later on, because we have to talk about Tatum and the Celtics. And we'll talk about the finals throughout the afternoon. But when we come back, we'll be joined by somebody who won an NBA championship. You may know him as Ron Artest. He now goes by Meta Sandiford Artest, and he'll be with us next to talk about the Warriors championship win. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. As the Warriors get another NBA Finals last night, beating the Celtics in Game 6 in Boston. And joining us now is a fellow NBA champion. Meta Sandiford Artest is with us, spent almost 20 years in the NBA, former All-Star, former NBA champ. He's with us now. Meta, good afternoon. How are you?
Everything is great, man. My mic is good. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we got you.
Beautiful, beautiful. How's SC for you?
Hey, everything's good here. Appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely.
You won a championship in the NBA, of course, so take us through this. What are the Warriors feeling like today as they wake up once again as NBA champions after that win last night?
Well, that's 8 times to the finals. We're talking about a dynasty. They did have the privilege to join the Bulls. Right, they have the privilege of joining the Bulls dynasty, and they're probably one of the top three dynasties probably in the history of basketball. You know, when you talk about the Celtics, then you talk about the Bulls when they had that run with Jordan, and then you talk about the Warriors. The Lakers had some runs, too. The Lakers had the runs with Kobe. I wish that if that would have lasted a little bit longer, that would have been a real dynasty. But that was like a short-lived dynasty. And obviously the Spurs is another, you know, kind of not a dynasty. They was in and out, right, over years. They were very consistent. LeBron is probably a dynasty himself. He's probably number 4 on that list. But, you know, congratulations to the Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, they got another championship. Look, I agree with you there, and it speaks to Steph Curry and the career he's had. You played against Steph Curry. Did this series change anything? A lot of people said he needed that finals MVP. He needed another championship without Durant.
He did.
Yeah?
He needed it. He needed it because if he didn't get a finals MVP, that would have hurt his chances of being, you know, in that special group, you know, top 5, top 10 all time. You know, now he's there. You see what I'm saying? He's there now. So, I mean, that kid is incredible. That man is incredible.
Yeah, you played against them, of course. Your final game in the NBA was against those Warriors. What makes that Warriors team or Steph Curry, what makes them so impressive?
Well, I think a lot of people's impressive. I would say what makes them impressive, dangerous. I think their movement, obviously their ability to shoot the ball is incredible. And then their movement and different things like that. They attack with the shot. You can't give them no space, and it's extremely difficult to guard. You got to really put up buckets, you know, to beat the Warriors. And you got to be sound. And they're a very good defensive team, right? So it's really difficult to deal with that.
Yeah, I could imagine. Now you know, as we talk with Meta Sanford Artest, you know, you were a guy that early on in your career you were scoring a bunch of points, and then into your 30s you took on maybe a little bit of a different role for Steph Curry. It seems like as good as he is, he's also a little egoless, right? He's able to have Kevin Durant come in. He's able to have other guys play a big role in the offense. How important do you think it is for a star like Steph Curry to, be able to work so well with others like that?
I mean, that's what makes him unique. That's why he's one of the greatest players. It's more than just athleticism. It's more than just your skills and your ability to score. It's also your ability to win, right? And he has the ability to win. I mean, it just separates him from a lot of people. You know, everybody's built differently and think differently, and Stephen's one of those people that he's prepped individually, and he's a team player, and you really see a player like that. So, you know, he's definitely setting the blueprint on how to play basketball moving forward.
On the other side, for Jason Tatum, obviously he didn't play his best throughout this series. What stood out to you about why Tatum may have had some struggles here in the NBA Finals?
I don't think he struggled. I think he was playing more defense. When you're chasing the Warriors around and then you have to score on the other end, something's going to have to give. And I think his legs were tired. I don't think he was prepared. And I think if he's in better shape, really elite shape, I think he'll be fine, but it was really difficult guarding Clay, then Draymond pass and faking to the basket, kicking. You got to close out. It's a lot of work. So I think he was a little more fatigued than actually playing back.
For the Celtics, you know, a lot of people talked about the Warriors have so much more finals experience than Boston. You won your first finals appearance. Now, I know, of course, you were playing alongside Kobe, who had been there before, but you'd gone through it before. What is it like that first NBA finals? Do you think the inexperience played a role for Boston at all this series?
Yeah, definitely. Right. You got the experienced team versus, the non-experienced team. That's always going to play a part. These guys been there. They know what to expect. They've been there. This is their eighth time. So there's really nothing new. If they lose, you know, they'll probably try to come back next year, but they definitely understand that they have to win. And, you know, Stephen Curry put himself in position to get number five, number six. You know, he's back. You know, the Warriors are back. So we might see, it's going to be very interesting over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, of course, when you won that finals, I think back to Kobe may not have been at his best in that game seven for his standards. You made the big play. You know, when Steph Curry had a little bit of a slow game a couple nights ago, Andrew Wiggins stepped up and was huge. What changes have you seen from Andrew Wiggins where, you know, in this playoffs he was playing like the guy the Timberwolves thought they were getting when he originally came into the league?
He played very well. I thought he had a balance. I thought he had a balanced game, a balanced season. I thought that, you know, he learned really what it takes to be a champion, and now he can add that to his individual game. He is averaging 20 for, you know, I think for his career, but he probably needed to see another side of basketball, which is the winning side. And now that he's got that experience, you know, it could be scary, you know, next year for a lot of teams.
Hey, let me ask you, stepping away from the NBA Finals, we talked with Meta Sanford, our test. You know, you played at St. John's in the late 90s. Let me sneak in a random college sports question. Do you like the name, image, and likeness and the opportunity for these athletes to make money? Is that something you would have liked back in the 90s at St. John's?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I remember times just needed money in college and, you know, but we just dealt with it. But I think it was something that people could have benefited from. And now I hear people, college athletes, are making tons of cash, which is great because they deserve it. You know, they have value, and I'm really, really happy for them.
You know, you're from New York City originally. Are you now, you an L.A. guy? You staying out there for good, or are you ever getting back to New York?
All my kids are in school out here. So I'm just, like, out here kind of finishing up that part, and then I'm slowly making my way back to New York City. I haven't been back in a little while, but I'm slowly kind of making my way back.
I got you. As we talk with Meta Sanford, our test. Before we let you go, you know, you're an interesting guy. You're up to a lot of different things now in your post-playing days. I do have to ask you because I don't know a whole lot about this. Let me ask you about this NFT community and the Meta Panda Club because I know you had the challenge game this week with Bone Collector. What are you up to with the Meta Panda Club?
Yeah, you know, I've been getting into digital marketing over the last 7 years. So Meta Panda Club is an NFT that we launched with an NFT company. We actually have a couple more NFTs that's launching. X-First Exports is a utility that we also built for our NFT holders, mainly focused on basketball. So our NFT holders get a chance to participate in games, whether it's coaching, whether it's wanting to be a general manager of a team, representing a team, being an ambassador, giving input, voting rights for players and different things like that. We're a local league in Los Angeles. And we're expanding, so definitely go to the Meta Panda Club with one T, Meta with one T. You can purchase your NFTs and follow at @XVSExports, XVSExports, and then we can keep you updated. But it's been great. I've been having a good time, you know, staying close around the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing before we let you go, Meta, for the Celtics, you know, they lost this championship. We always assume, they'll just be back. But, you know, it's hard to get to the NBA Finals. What do you expect for the Celtics moving forward? Should we anticipate, you know, a bunch more appearances for them in the finals here in the future?
It's hard to say because, you know, next year's a new season. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to say what's going to happen, but next year is a new season. We know a lot of teams that probably could have made it to the finals that didn't make it, so now they get a chance to rest. And we got to wait and see for next season. But I don't think we know who's going to win next year. I don't really know.
Yeah, right. And we just wrapped up this year, so we'll see what happens next year. The Warriors won the finals last night. He's Meta Sanford, our test, played for almost 20 years in the league, won a finals, former All-Star. Meta, appreciate the time, as always. Appreciate you joining us again. We'll catch up with you, I'm sure, sometime down the road.
Yeah, I got to get to those beaches down there. I've never been to a beach down there. I heard they're really nice.
Hey, absolutely. Whenever you make it to South Carolina, you let me know. We'll hang out at the beach.
Awesome. All right, see you later.
All right, appreciate it. Take care. Meta Sanford, our test. Appreciate the time from him. He joined us last year around the finals, too. I think last year, I think he was working out last year when he came on the show with us. He may have been working out again today. I don't know. But I appreciate the time from Meta. I love having him on the show. Interesting guy who obviously played in the finals before, played with Kobe, played big games in the NBA. Appreciate the time from him. And when he makes it to South Carolina, we'll go hop on some surfboards out there too. By the way, that's the interesting thing, that whenever we have people on the show, they always, right? Adnan Virk said something similar on Monday about vacationing here. Whenever we have people on, obviously, Charleston, South Carolina, it's a great place. You know that. That's why you live here. But whenever we have people on the show, they always say that. They always talk about the good things they've heard, or they want to be here, or they've been here and they love it. Everybody loves Charleston. What's not to love? So when Adnan Virk comes this summer, we'll have a beach day. When Meta Sandiford makes it, we'll have a beach day. Whoever else wants to come, we'll have a big Morrow Midday Show party on the beach with all these guys someday. When we come back, hey, the U.S. Open's going on, right? So in Boston, not only did you have the NBA Finals last night, we got a major event going on. We'll talk about the NBA Finals throughout the afternoon. Jonathan Isaac will join us in the final hour, about 2 hours from now, around 2:30, to talk about the Finals. But when we come back, I want to talk about the other event, big event that's been going on in Boston. The U.S. Open with the LIV Golf Tour, or whatever you want to call it, the LIV golfers coming back together with the PGA golfers, and how the PGA can really learn from something from all of this. We'll get to that when we come back. More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Meta Sandiford Artest, formerly known as Ron Artest, Meta World Peace. I think it was Meta World Peace when he came on last year. Sandiford Artest, whatever it is, we appreciate the time from him. Breaking down the NBA Finals, always enjoy having him on the show. And if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. Appreciate the time from Meta. Last segment, talking NBA Finals. We'll continue to talk about the NBA Finals, but there's another big event going on. In fact, yesterday, if you were a Boston sports fan, you could have gone to the U.S. Open. I guess in the morning you'd have to go. Then you had Red Sox baseball at 1:30 at Fenway. Then you had the NBA Finals, right, for the Celtics last night at 9 p.m. Now, I don't know how easy it would have been to pull that off. I also don't know how, like, realistic that is. Maybe if you have a lot of money, you could go to an NBA Finals game, a major event, and then, you know, a random baseball game, but tickets are pretty expensive around Fenway. That'd be quite the expensive day, but what a day that would be. Also be a long day. Probably want to sleep in today. That'd be a lot of fun. I've seen some tweets from the past 2 days saying, right, this crowd is dead at the U.S. Open. Well, number one, I'm not surprised, because yesterday I'm sure everybody was gearing up for the Celtics-NBA Finals game in town. And it was the first round of them. And, you know, by Sunday, maybe they'll be into the U.S. Open. Yesterday, it's like, it's just starting. We'll get out there this week. The Celtics are playing. And today, the reason why I've seen more tweets, you know, somebody said it sounded like a church there this morning. Yeah, because the Celtics just lost last night. They're all in mourning. They're heartbroken up there in Boston. They don't want to go out and watch golf on an early Friday morning. They're crushed from last night. We'll talk about the NBA Finals throughout the afternoon. Jonathan Isaac will join us about 2 hours from now, member of the Orlando Magic, to talk about it. And we'll get into Jason Tatum a little bit later on as well. But, you know, the idea going in was that it's hard to win on that floor in Boston. I mean, maybe back in the day, they've lost, maybe not in the finals, they've lost some big games in the playoffs. I was there, I don't remember the year, probably 2012, 2013, when LeBron James went off in Boston to win the conference finals in Game 6. And I was there that night, and that was the most I've seen Michael Jordan live a couple times. That was probably the most impressive performance I've ever seen in person. Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd have to look up the exact year. I think it was 2012, maybe 2011. And LeBron went off, and he had like 40 points in Boston and silenced everybody, and he was just incredible. He couldn't be stopped that night. And that was similar. It wasn't the finals, but it was Game 6 Conference Finals against Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, and LeBron was the best guy on the floor. Steph Curry, somewhat similar last night. LeBron was more dominant in this game about a decade ago. But Steph Curry also, right, went into Boston Game 6 NBA Finals. So we did play that clip yesterday, Windhorse. A lot of these stats, by the way, you need a little more context. Like, how many elimination games have they won in Boston since 1985, at least in the finals? They haven't been in a ton of finals since then. They've only won one finals in the last 30-plus years. Just like the idea that Steph Curry is the first guy in 50 years to beat the number one defense in the finals and average over 30 points. Well, how often does the number one defense even reach the finals? But I digress. Point being, Curry last night, impressive win, and also Boston. It's kind of like Lambeau. We talk about it with Lambeau as well. Tough place to go in there and win in the playoffs. Well, I mean, the Packers are 500 at home this century in the playoffs. Not really, maybe it was tough back in the 70s and the 80s. Things are a little different now. We have to change our opinion or standards. Same with Boston. Right? It used to be really tough. At the old Boston Garden, there was no air conditioning. Larry Bird and McHale, yeah, it used to be tough. They were a good team. That was a tough place to play. And in recent years, Celtics are not a good home team this year. Not as tough to go in there anymore. But I digress. So anyways, point being, the crowds at the U.S. Open, getting back on topic, have not been great. Yeah, they're all heartbroken today over the Celtics last night. But I've been saying this since the whole LIV drama started in the golf world, and now the two sides come back together this weekend for the U.S. Open. And Phil Mickelson was terrible yesterday. We'll see how he does today and if he hangs around for the weekend. A bunch of no-names are at the top of the leaderboard right now. I've always said competition is a good thing. Vince McMahon's in the headlines right now for the wrong reasons. But I grew up a wrestling fan. And when I actually stopped paying attention to wrestling, it was probably because of age. I got old enough where I realized, I'm kind of beyond this now. But also, the big thing when I got out of wrestling was back in the day, in the 90s, you had three different corporations. I loved all three. You had McMahon and the WWF. You had WCW. You had ECW, which was the underground one. Right? That was the one that only the cool kids knew about, ECW. Real hardcore in Philadelphia, loved ECW. But then Vince McMahon bought out both ECW and WCW. Isn't it great to be in a position where you are so powerful, you could just buy out the competition? Anytime a competitor comes, we'll just buy the company. No competition. And then they became, of course, the WWE. And they've had no competition for a number of years until now the Khan family has started up AEW in recent years. And they're doing pretty good over there, which I think is a good thing for the wrestling fans or the WWE fans. Because for a long time, wrestling became real lame because there's nobody keeping McMahon in check. He could do whatever he wanted. He had no competition. It was a monopoly. I've ranted similarly about Ticketmaster. They could charge whatever they want with all their fees. There's no competition. What are you going to do? Where else are you going to get your tickets? From a scalper? Right, they could charge whatever fees they want because there's nobody else. And when somebody came along, Live Nation, they bought them out, just like McMahon. Buy out the competition. Now you're still a monopoly. No one's competing with you. You could do whatever you want. So competition's always a good thing. It keeps you honest. Keeps you on your toes. You got to come up with fresh ideas. And I've said about baseball, and baseball doesn't really have any competition, baseball and golf are the two sports that have kind of fallen behind the times. You got to update some things. But when you look back in the other sports world, competition has always been good. In fact, when you look at today's modern sports that we love, they really look very much like their competitors from years past. It's funny how that works. Right? Like the NFL. Think back to the original USFL. If you're old enough to go through the USFL in the 80s, what was the USFL like? Wide open passing attacks. They had big salaries. They were paying guys more than the NFL. USFL was kind of like the LIV Golf Tour. They came along and they were willing to shell out big money to steal some of the big names coming out of college. Remember, they got Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker won the Heisman. He went to the USFL, not the NFL, because the USFL was going to let him come out of college sooner than the NFL and pay him more. In fact, they got three straight Heisman winners went to the USFL. Imagine a world today, three straight Heisman winners, they go to play in the CFL, then the NFL, which, by the way, Canadian Football League started last night, got it on the DVR. Looking forward to watching that this weekend. Love CFL, especially this time of year when there's no other football going on. I don't care about the new USFL's playoff. I'd rather watch Canadian football. Right, but imagine a world, right? Three straight Heisman winners turned down the NFL. They'd rather go to the USFL. So the USFL back in the 80s, wide open passing attacks before that became a thing, big time salaries, and they started to take guys early out of college. The NFL still had a rule. You had to go through all your years of college. Herschel Walker did not want to play his senior year at Georgia. He didn't have to. So he went to the USFL. Now the NFL, what do? They change that rule. Okay, 3 years. No longer 4 years. You got to be 3 years removed from high school. The NFL today, very much like the USFL. Big-time salaries, wide-open passing attacks. Guys can come out of college a year early. That was the USFL before the NFL in the 80s. The NFL has now turned into the USFL. By the way, the XFL has also had an influence. What did the XFL do? They got rid of extra points. The NFL pushed their extra point back. The NFL is trying to limit the kickers a little bit. They want the offenses out in the field. That was the XFL thing 20 years ago. What else did the XFL do? They were the first to give you in-game interviews, which you may hate as a fan. You don't want to see your coach or manager interviewed, but we see it in the NBA all the time, Major League Baseball. The first to do that was the XFL. Other leagues have stolen that. What else did the XFL do? They were on NBC. Right now, when you want to watch Sunday Night Football, where do you go? NBC. The XFL was first on NBC. And then after the XFL, NBC said, actually, you know what? We kind of like this football thing. And the NFL said, boy, do we have the product for you. They're on NBC now for Sunday Night Football. So when I look at the NFL, they've borrowed some things from their competitors. They got onto NBC. More access. Hard Knocks started right after the XFL. That was a big thing of the XFL. McMahon wanted you to get to know the players. They would interview players during the game. They would have cameras in the locker room. It was all about access. What happened right after the XFL? Hard Knocks, which gives you what? Access. Shows you behind the scenes. So the NFL has always been able to look at their competitors and say, you know what? That's a good idea what they're doing. Let's take that. And the NFL has become a lot like the USFL. Wide open passing attacks, big salaries, players coming out of college a little bit early to get into the league now. That's what the NFL is today. Basketball. We just had the NBA Finals last night. The Warriors won. How do they do it? With a lot of three-point shooting. Right? The Splash Brothers. What does the NBA become? Very offensive. What is this year's NBA like? I know the Warriors are a dynasty, but when you look around the NBA, there's not a super team anymore, regardless of what Golden State just did. There's a lot of talented players on a bunch of different teams spread throughout the league. What does that sound like? The ABA of the 70s. Who first started the three-pointer? It wasn't the NBA. It was the ABA. The ABA had the three-pointer in the 70s. In fact, the NBA originally said, no, we don't need that. That's a gimmick. And it took the NBA a few years after they swallowed up the ABA. Still took them an extra about 4 years before they came around on the idea of the three-pointer. Now, what is the NBA all about? Three-pointers. The ABA had that back in the 70s. And the ABA had all the different stars with an Artis Gilmore and a Rick Barry and Dr. J started there. Bunch of different. They didn't have some sort of power. NBA in the 70s, ABA, same idea, right? In the 70s. Bunch of good players that were just spread out on different teams. Higher scoring games, three-point shots. That's what the NBA has become today. A lot like the ABA back in the day. And what's interesting about both these two leagues, they figured if we're going to steal the eye away from that league, what do we need to do? We got to be more offensive. So that's why they implemented the three-pointer. That's why the USFL said, we got to start throwing it more. That's more exciting. We got to be more exciting than the NFL. That was the connecting trend. And here we are all these years later. The NBA today, a lot like the ABA back in the day. The NFL today, a lot like the USFL back in the day. So I bring all this up because for the first time, the PGA or the PGA Tour has some serious competition here with the LIV Golf Tour. And they all came together this weekend. They're playing in the U.S. Open. I've given you the numbers before. The number of golfers in this country has gone down every year since 1997, right? Golf, like baseball, they're trying to find ways to keep up. Baseball's changing their rules. Golf should change some things as well to adapt. And LIV Golf Tour had their first event this past weekend. I'll tell you what, I don't know. Maybe creating a little more urgency, 3 days instead of four isn't too bad. Maybe the shotgun starts is pretty good. Instead of waiting around all day, like he doesn't tee off till two, it's kind of nice. Event starts, everybody's out on the course. You can watch everybody right away. You don't have to spend as much time around the TV all day. The event's not going on for 12 hours, asking for your attention all day and all weekend long. No, it's 3 days. We get in and out, and we put everybody out there at the same time. Now, for the final round of Sunday, probably not ideal. I like how the PGA structures their Sundays, or really all these golf events structure their Sundays, going based off of the leaderboard. That's more ideal, so that at the end of the day, you have the most important golfers, you know, finishing up instead of some random guys. You want the best for last, like a game seven. But I kind of like the idea of, you know, shotgun start. Everybody's out there right away. 3 days instead of four. It's a little bit quicker throughout the day. They're not out golfing, waiting for everybody to tee off, staggered throughout the afternoon. So it takes, you know, 12 hours every day that you're waiting around. Then you have weather issues, and, it's too dark. You're going to have to come back tomorrow. And, you know, just nowadays, urgency is what is winning. I don't think the LIV Golf Tour goes anywhere. I think it's going to be fascinating to continue to see these two sides battle. But I also look back in the past, and I see these leagues that have always been willing to adapt to their competitors. Never been too stubborn to say, like, I don't know, right? They're never going to beat us. Are you crazy? The USFL? What do they think? We're the NFL. They're crazy over there. Even the NBA originally said, three-point line? Oh, what a gimmick. The ABA, yeah, they need a three-point line to try to compete with us. Well, then a couple years later, you added a three-point line. Now the game's all about three-pointers. Oddly enough, the ABA was kind of ahead of their time. Same with the USFL. Well, that's what these leagues have become. And so if I'm the PGA Tour, is these two sides battle out there, war of words, whatever is going to go down this weekend? Right, if I'm the PGA Tour, I'm looking at some of the things they're doing. I'm not afraid to maybe borrow some of the ideas to adapt, to change some things, to update our game, to try to keep up as well. Right, boxing, UFC, they've dealt with this too. Not a direct competitor per se, but they're both in the fighting world. Obviously, it's a different brand of fighting. But UFC came along, really has put a dent into boxing. And UFC had a, they've been really good for, like, women fighters. Well, boxing has tried to get into that world recently, too. Like, oh, you know, I kind of like that. We open ourselves up to more people, more viewers. And then we could get women involved in the sport, like UFC has done. Or at least just have more talent to choose from. Similar idea. The PGA Tour, same idea. Right? We could talk about blood money, the Saudis, this and that, how bad they are. All true, sure. But if you're the PGA Tour, you probably should be keeping one eye over there and seeing, like, okay, what can we do to keep up or stay ahead? What are they doing? That's pretty interesting. Instead of just being so stubborn and turning your back and saying, oh, those jerks over there, we want nothing to do with these guys. I'm not saying you work with them, but you have to come up with some sort of ideas to either keep up or stay ahead or even, hey, heck, steal some of their ideas for all I care. The NFL, the NBA did. That's how they survived. That's how they've gotten to the point today. They look a lot like those competitors from years ago. PGA Tour may have to do something similar. We'll see how Mickelson does today, and whoever wins this whole thing over the weekend, and, of course, anything of note will break down on Monday. But when we come back, we'll wrap up Hour 1. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show. Talk about
wrapping up Hour 1 of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Was giving some thoughts last segment on the golf world. Bob Costas was on, I think it was CNN. He had some pretty strong words over the LIV Golf Tour. I thought it was actually pretty good. You can go find the video. It's like a seven-minute segment with him on TV this week. Costas also had some strong words for the wrestling world way back when. You may remember an awkward interview he did with Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon kind of, like, threatened Bob Costas during the interview about, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And Costas has always been anti-wrestling and anti-Vince McMahon. He's not a McMahon guy. Vince McMahon has gotten himself into some trouble these days. He's had to step aside from running the WWE. If you haven't seen, he had an affair with an employee and then paid, like, $3 million in hush money. And now it's being investigated, his misconduct allegations, and he has stepped aside. I also saw a story from yesterday that Missouri State rescinded their offer to this player, Otis Weah, after learning of a sexual assault investigation with him. So you got Vince McMahon, who had a consensual relationship with somebody, paid her his own money. He's stepping aside from his own company. This may be the end of Vince McMahon with the WWE. His daughter's running things, so eventually, essentially Vince will, I'm sure, be in her ear with everything. You have Missouri State, I thought, did the right thing, where just simply an investigation into one case of sexual assault. They said, yeah, we don't want this guy coming to our team. And yet, we still wait on Deshaun Watson, where all cases may not have been consensual. And instead of maybe stepping away from his company, he gets the largest contract in NFL history, and we still wait on the punishment for Deshaun in a situation involving 26 women. I thought it was an interesting paradox this week. going on in the sports world. That is, if you want to include the WWE in the sports world. When we come back, Shane Beamer was in town. We'll talk about the Gamecocks next.